KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, I'm Ethan Smith Cox, the Director of Development for the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, or SAFE. SAFE is a nonprofit organization addressing the needs of more than 1,100 clients living with HIV and AIDS, providing outreach and education to more than 23,000 people annually to stop the spread of HIV, and administering nearly 2,000 HIV tests annually throughout the community. SAFE serves its clients in a multitude of ways, including operating a food pantry, or a satellite location of the community food bank, as well as a home-delivered meals program for its clients, Food for Life. In 2013, more than 35,000 meals were prepared, packaged, and delivered to clients in need, and volunteers do the bulk of this work, with one full-time staff member overseeing the endeavor. SAFE also owns and operates 7 housing communities around Tucson for people living with HIV and AIDS. Currently, 111 clients live in 83 units. In May of 2014, the Southern Arizona Green Chamber of Commerce chose SAFE as the first nonprofit to join the Climate Leadership Challenge. David Schaller, Green Chamber of Commerce board member, stated, "SAFE's commitment to the Green Chamber's Climate Leadership Challenge demonstrates that the business case for climate action has strong appeal to nonprofits as well as the private sector companies within the community." SAFE's single largest fundraising event, AIDS Walk, takes place on Sunday, October 12th in downtown Tucson and will celebrate its 26th anniversary. This will be our third year teaming up with beloved local festival Tucson Meet Yourself, and more than 2,000 people will come out to walk, run, and volunteer in support of SAFE and the people we serve. SAFE has also teamed up with Walgreens stores throughout Southern Arizona to raise additional funds for AIDS Walk through a Red Ribbon campaign. The campaign, which takes place in March and September, shines a light on HIV and AIDS by offering HIV testing in select stores and selling paper red ribbons at the checkout stand to customers. In March alone, the 60 stores that sold ribbons in support of SAFE raised more than $19,000. In 2015, SAFE will celebrate 30 years of providing services in Southern Arizona, and SAFE is the result of a merger of 3 organizations, the Tucson AIDS Project, the Shanti Foundation, and the People with AIDS Coalition of Tucson, Pact for Life. SAFE offers free confidential and rapid HIV testing throughout the community as well as at our main offices. And you can get more information about SAFE, testing, and the services that we offer at www.SAFFred.org. That's safe.org.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
My name is Lauren Bianco, and I'm the Director of Development and Community Outreach at HOPE Incorporated. HOPE, in partnership with the LGBT Straight Alliance Fund and the LGBT Health Coalition of Southern Arizona, is hosting 3 sessions of mental health first aid with a focus on LGBTQ populations. Mental Health First Aid is a national program that teaches participants how to spot signs and symptoms of a mental health or substance abuse crisis. Because individuals who identify as LGBTQ are 3 to 4 times more likely to experience mental health and substance abuse crises than their heterosexual peers, these special trainings will put an extra emphasis on the experiences of LGBTQ populations. The next Mental Health First Aid training will be in September of 2014. For more information, visit hopetucson.org.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Chad Mosier, and I'm Programs Director for Wingspan. I moved to Tucson 10 years ago, and when I first moved here, I went over to Wingspan when it was on 6th Avenue. I went there to kind of check things out and see what things were like in Tucson. The staff in the Welcome Center were really helpful and generous with their time, and they showed me the lending library and gave me all sorts of information about things to do in Tucson. A few years later, I volunteered for the Anti-Violence Project at Wingspan. The Anti-Violence Project has a crisis line, so I volunteered as a crisis line advocate. I took calls from all over the state from people needing resources in Southern Arizona. Some of the callers experienced different types of violence in their relationships. Others were harassed at work or in school. Sometimes callers needed someone to talk to because of all the difficulties they experienced figuring out who they are and how to talk about it. Wingspan serves several purposes for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender and queer communities. One of them is to provide a sense of belonging here, but another is to fight for our ongoing equality. And of course, my work is also to advocate for the community. The reason why Stonewall marked a significant time for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community is because it was no longer acceptable for us to be silent. Although I came out in the late 80s, Stonewall was very much a part of my consciousness and my personal history. I could not be talking about the issues we need to discuss now, or even work at Wingspan, without the brave transgender, bisexual, lesbian, and gay individuals at Stonewall. We are still working against oppression and working for equality, and I want to acknowledge we are all able to do so openly and proudly thanks to the Stonewall Uprising. Wingspan's anti-violence project works to prevent, respond to, and end all forms of violence against and within the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. We advocate for legal, social, and institutional changes and provide resources for the safety and support of victims and survivors, their friends, family, and community members, and also work to prevent violence. Wingspan's anti-violence project envisions a world in which all LGBTQ people and their allies are safe, respected, and live free from violence, discrimination, harassment, and oppression. Most people here know about our crisis line, but we also provide walk-in and support advocacy services. We have several volunteers and interns working to keep the crisis support services open 24 hours a day and to make sure we provide bilingual and culturally appropriate services. When I talk with community members, friends, and colleagues, it still surprises me that relationship violence often goes unreported because victims do not think that they are being hurt. Our concept of healthy relationships can often be distorted if we feel that we don't deserve a healthy relationship or even that sexual violence is a normal part of a healthy relationship. And it's not. Bisexual men and bisexual women are at the highest risks for both interpersonal violence, such as harassment and physical violence with a partner, or even for sexual assault, than any other members in the community. Transgender individuals experience harassment at the workplace at alarming rates, including verbal and physical threats. At the Anti-Violence Project, we served over 200 people in the crisis line and about 500 people with our walk-in crisis services since January 2014. Violence towards our community is still a civil rights issue. Anti-immigration sentiments and policies affect LGBTQ individuals at much higher rates and with more violence and segregation than any other group. Violence toward our community is still a human rights issue. Economic justice, social justice, and equal protection under the law continue to be pressing concerns for the LGBT and allied communities. Wingspan's Anti-Violence Project partnered with several other grassroots and social justice organizations this year to continue to advocate for protection and equal rights. Without Stonewall, we would still live in silence. We no longer need to live in silence and need to be communicating with others about our experiences and needs. Together, we are Wingspan. Thank you.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hello, I'm Chris Sugi, and I'm the graduate assistant for the Office of LGBTQ Affairs at the University of Arizona. We work to build, sustain, and strengthen a safe and inclusive environment for people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. We offer numerous programs aimed to help queer people and train allies. We remember the activists that are often forgotten in gay discourse, such as queer people of color and trans women of color. Sylvia Rivera was an essential activist at Stonewall, and we want to continue her legacy with diverse programming aimed to help all types of LGBTQ people. We provide aid through several support groups, including an LGBTQA support group, a Queer People of Color and Two-Spirit support group, a Domestic Violence Survivor support group, and a Gender Spectrum support group. These are all free and open to anyone who needs a little help. Another program from our office is a Safe Zone program, which trains people on queer identities and allyship through two workshops. At the end, participants get a placard that identifies them as a visible source of support. Once you've gone through the first two workshops, we offer advanced trainings highlighting certain topics in the queer community, such as Trans 101, Queering Disability, Intersections of Blackness and Queerness, and an A is For workshop that covered identities that start with A, such as agender, asexual, and aromantic. These workshops are all free and open to the campus and community, and you can register for trainings at our website at tinyurl.com/UASafeZone. Further, we partner with community organizations and the largest queer student group on campus, Pride Alliance, to put on amazing programming at the U of A. Our Mall Awareness Weeks, such as Coming Out Week in October, Transgender Awareness Week in November, and the Day of Silence in April, provide visibility about queer struggles and successes to students that may not otherwise get a chance to see such stories. Students, faculty, staff, and community members get a chance to learn about and learn how to support LGBTQ people. The student group, Pride Alliance, is awesome because it's been around for over 20 years and puts on over 50 events throughout the year that are free. In addition to the awareness weeks, some other fun events they do that I like include drag bingo with a drag queen MC and a second chance prom, where people get a second chance to enjoy their prom by being able to wear what they want and bring whoever they want as dates. In addition to programming, we also have a resource center on campus in the middle of the student union on the fourth floor that's essential in supporting LGBTQ people. It's a safe place where people can come to meet each other, have discussions, or check out cool books from our library. We have a faculty fellow, Dr. Frank Galarte, from the Gender and Women's Studies Department, that also provides a lot of support and mentorship for these students. We're open from 10 to 5 Monday through Thursday and 10 to 3 on Fridays. Overall, the Office of LGBTQ Affairs provides an essential link between the U of A and queer people in the community. We aim to continue the legacy of Stonewall, Compton's Cafeteria, and all the other queer struggles by supporting and empowering LGBTQ people and educating those who want to help out with queer rights. We invite you to our Wildcat Welcome on September 3rd from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Tucson Room in the Student Union at the University of Arizona. Thank you.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hello, my name is Sandy Davenport, and I'm a social worker and caregiver specialist at Pima Council on Aging. And I'm happy to talk today about Project Visibility, which is an LGBT cultural competency training to providers of long-term care. Did you know that LGBT older adults are more likely to be alienated from family, less likely to have children and grandchildren to help with their care as they grow older, and more likely to be financially stressed due to income losses related to LGBT status? LGBT older adults are also more likely to be isolated, at risk for depression, and often avoid seeking medical care because they're not sure if the care providers are people that they can trust and feel safe with. As a result, LGBT older adults are less likely to access senior services. As a result, LGBT older adults are 5 times less likely to access senior services. Project Visibility was developed by Boulder County Area Agency on Aging. It's a nationally award-winning training to help service providers become more informed, sensitive to, and supportive of the needs of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender older adults and their families. PCOA, in collaboration with community agencies, offers this cultural competency training for staff at assisted living facilities, nursing homes, and home health agencies to increase awareness of the strengths and needs of LGBT older adults. People need to feel safe with their care providers, and that's the purpose of Project Visibility for the LGBT community. Our local project is supported in part by the LGBT and S Alliance Fund, and we're co-sponsored by Wingspan Senior Pride. We participate in Wingspan Senior Pride monthly meetings, the second Tuesday of every month at 2 at the Himmel Park Library. And we invite people in the community to join us at those meetings and to also get involved with Project Visibility. This training includes screening of the Project Visibility DVD with personal interviews and supportive interactive discussion. And everyone who attends gets a manual on making positive and practical changes at their agencies. As of 2012, over 1,000 people have attended Project Visibility trainings in our community. And we're excited about helping to change the culture of care to help our community service providers ensure that older LGBT adults receive long-term care services that are welcoming, respectful, and safe for them. One of the things that we've done at PCOA to help our services be more accessible to the LGBT community is we have identified 5 specialists on our staff in LGBT elder care. They are John Barnes, Fran Orman, Bridget Rhodes, Susie Bork, and myself. PCOA is the place to go for help when you don't know where to start. So please give us a call. Our number is 790-7262. That's the PCOA helpline. Give us a call if you'd like more information about Project Visibility or if you know a long-term care facility that would like the no-cost training. We'd be happy to follow up. Thank you.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Diana Wilson, and I am the founder of Camp Born This Way. Camp Born This Way was founded in 2012, and it is a camp for gender creative and transgender children and their families here in Southern Arizona. The children who come to Camp Born This Way are ages 5 to 12, and they are children who typically express their gender in ways that aren't typical of the gender or the sex that they were assigned at birth. I was inspired to start this camp because we went to a camp that was planned nationally by a group of parents on a listserv for gender creative boys, otherwise known as pink boys, who like to dress up and be pink and sparkly and dance around and be beautiful. And it was a life-changing experience for our family to see our son feel freer and safer than he's ever felt in his life. So when I came back after the second time we went, I thought, why not start a camp here in Arizona? I didn't really know it could happen, but I started putting it out to the universe, and the next thing you know, we had our first grant from a local Jewish congregation's 7th grade leadership class. And everything just kind of thunder rolled from there. We got a grant from the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding. We raised nickel and dime and grassroots fundraising. We started putting the word out here and there, finding families, and we had several local volunteers who stepped up to the plate. People often ask me, what do we do at Camp Born This Way and how is it different? It's really not different than any other camp. We hike, we swim, we do crafts, and we have fires at night with s'mores and singing, and we do theater. The one thing that might be a little unique to our camp is that we often do a fashion show for both the boys and the girls because siblings come with the families as well. And the children are just able to dress up and, you know, be free. It gives them an opportunity to be in a place where they know they're accepted and they're not going to be judged or bullied. And the whole idea is to put ourselves out of business and to create a world that is safe and accepting for children no matter how they express themselves in the world. We're not there yet, which is why camp is continuing, and this is our third year. We've been doing a lot of fundraising thanks to the Alliance Fund this year and, again, the Fund for Civility. We also got a grant from a national organization called the Trans Justice Funding Project, and we just had a movie at the Loft called Just Gender that was also a fundraiser for camp. We've raised money from Raytheon engineer employees, from their GLBTA group, and also just online donations. If people are interested in camp, learning more about it, if they know a family for whom this might be appropriate to attend, we're looking for applications for families right now. They can go to www.campbornthisway.org. And if you don't know of any families but are interested in contributing, there's a donate button on the website as well.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Michael Woodward, and I'm on the Southern Arizona Steering Committee for Why Marriage Matters Arizona. With all the exciting changes happening across the country regarding marriage equality, something that often gets lost in the conversation is why marriage matters to transgender people. We think that about 0.5% of the population is transgender. That may not sound like a lot, but it translates to about 1.5 million people in the United States and over 2,000 right here in Tucson. It's really not so rare as everyone thinks. But neither the gay, lesbian, bisexual community nor the trans community has made much of an effort to really include trans people in the discussion or the advocacy work around marriage equality. Some trans people are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or queer, but the majority identify as heterosexual. But regardless of their sexual orientation, the freedom to marry affects transgender people just as much as gay and lesbian people, because there are no laws to protect transgender marriages and families either. I think one reason that the trans community has been left out of the conversation might be because our situations can raise some really complex questions that other marriage advocates haven't really wanted to deal with yet. For example, can a straight couple still be legally married if one of them transitions and they become a same-sex couple? Or, if one person and a same-sex couple transitions, are they then eligible to marry their partner? Courts in different states have come down with different answers on these questions, and very few of these decisions have been made in favor of the trans community. Families have been torn apart, parents denied the ability to see the children they gave birth to, widows have been denied access to inheritance benefits after the spouse they were legally married to for decades died. The bottom line is this, though. Arizona's constitutional ban on marriage really has no legal meaning because there's no legal definition of man or woman that works consistently with what we already know about human biology. For every way the courts have tried to define sex, there are living, breathing human beings who break the mold. Thousands of people would be defined differently depending on what state line they cross. One state defines a woman as a person who can bear children, and everyone else is male. But if that woman is sterile or has already experienced menopause, does that mean she suddenly becomes male? Or how about the XX versus XY chromosome argument? Well, there are actually several different combinations of the sex chromosomes. You can even have different combinations in different parts of your body. Most people never had their chromosomes tested, so there could be lots of unsuspecting couples out there that don't have the stereotypical binary limitations. So the very concept of one man and one woman is ultimately unenforceable, not to mention unconstitutional. Marriage equality matters. Ensuring everyone the freedom to marry protects all loving couples and their families, regardless of where they live and regardless of their gender. To get involved with the conversation locally, visit whymarriagemattersarizona.org for more information.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dia Brascala, and I am an 81-year-old lesbian who is a member of the 55-plus age group called Senior Pride, a program sponsored by Wingspan, Tucson's LGBTQ Community Center. In addition, I interview community members for the community member profiles that are published monthly in our Senior Pride newsletter. Also, I am now the roving reporter who gathers articles of interest for publication. In the past, we have had such events as a tea dance on Valentine's Day, a costumed Halloween party, visits to Tucson's art museum thanks to Maurice Grossman, and most recently an ice cream social hosted by Senior Pride for the Eon youth and staff members as well as seniors. 51 people attended. Should you care to join us, we meet the second Tuesday of the month in Himmel Library's meeting room at 2 p.m. For more information, please contact the program director, Chad Mosier, at 624-1779, extension 127, or email him at cmosier@wingspan.org. I'm hoping you will join us, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. Thank you.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hello, my name is Michael Lopez, and I'm a health education specialist at the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. I work in the STEP Towards Effective Positive Prevention, and M-SHAPE programs. M-SHAPE, Men's Sexual Health and Personal Empowerment, is a drop-in lounge for male-identified adults, 18 and over, who identify as gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and their allies. M-SHAPE focuses on supporting individuals to cultivate the skills they need to create and sustain healthy lives and build stronger, more supportive communities. M-SHAPE was forced to close its doors in 2012 due to cuts in funding, but thanks to the generous support of the Steve J. Miller Foundation and Tucson's very own Alliance Fund, in 2013, M-SHAPE was able to reopen its doors to fill a much-needed gap in our Tucson community. M-SHAPE is a safe and sober space. Staff provide support to help participants create and achieve personal goals, provide referrals to health and substance use treatment, and other long-term support services. In the lounge, participants can access resources for basic needs, including shower facilities, hygiene kits, and food bags. The lounge also provides access to computer lab, Wi-Fi, and a lending library of DVDs and books. Everyone who attends the lounge helps shape the space, and the M-SHAPE core group, a peer advisory group, works with staff to write monthly programming and activity schedules. Monthly programming includes discussion groups and workshops focused on increasing awareness of health and wellness, issues faced by many in our LGBTQ adult community, and skills-building workshops such as resume writing, healthy eating on a budget, and effective communication skills. We are open every week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. and are located at 375 South Euclid Avenue. You can find more information about M-SHAPE at safe.org or like us on Facebook or contact me, Michael Lopez, at email mlopez@safe.org or by phone 520-547-6109.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
My name is Narda Rivera, and I work at Wingspan as an anti-violence advocate. I am also a volunteer with Wingspan's program, Puertas Abiertas. Puertas Abiertas is a social and educational outreach program for the Latin and Hispanic LGBTQ community and its allies. By providing support in a culturally specific matter, Puertas Abiertas strives to address the specific needs of the Latin community as part of our efforts to unite the entire LGBTQ community. Puertas Abiertas offers periodic opportunities with monthly meetings with the goal of developing the Latina, Latino, Hispanic, LGBT community. The focus of the meetings is to create social events for the LGBT community, all allies, and LGBT community in general are invited to participate and attend. Puertas Abiertas is open to all. Puertas Abiertas brings together different events to bring our community together and raise awareness. One of the most important events we organize during the year is Latin Pride Week. This week is full of diverse events, such as a family day, movie night, storytelling, art shows, community forums, closing party, amongst other events. Community members interested in attending our meetings or social events can visit our website at wingspan.com or like us on facebook.com/puertasabiertastucson. With any questions, you can call 520-624-1779, extension 122. Puertas Abiertas meets every third Sunday of the month at 5:30 p.m. at Wingspan, which is also subject to change. Wingspan Puertas Abiertas is composed of 10 volunteers, and we are always looking to recruit more. Wingspan Puertas Abiertas es un grupo que provee programación educativa y actividades sociales para personas latinas LGBTQ y sus aliados. El programa de Wingspan Puertas Abiertas crea apoyo de manera específica a la cultura latina o a personas que se identifican como lesbianas, gays, bisexuales, transgénero, y intenta unir a la comunidad en general. Nuestras juntas son tercer domingo del mes a las 5:30 en las oficinas de Wingspan. Para más información, puede visitarnos en la página wingspan.com o nos puede buscar en facebook.com/puertasabiertastucson o llamando al teléfono 520-624-1779, extensión 122.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Judy Gomez, and I'm a 72-year-old lesbian grandma, and I live with my partner, Marjorie Hochberg. We have 3 adult kids, 2 son-in-laws, 1 daughter-in-law, and 10 grandkids. One of the things we've noticed in our years of raising our kids and grandkids, who range from 6 to 24, is that there are no books that talk about our family, none. Not for older kids and not for little kids. And so I've written a book, which is called Mia's Two Grandmas. And in fact, our littlest granddaughter is named Mia. And I actually put a picture out on Facebook this morning at the end of our Indiegogo campaign. If we want to read to Mia or to Magnus or to any of the kids that are younger than 12, a children's book as they're going to sleep about their family and about some of the issues that they face being in a family that's different than most families, it doesn't exist. So I wrote it. And the book is called Mia's Two Grandmas, and the book is about a little girl named Mia who I visualize is about 6 years old. She's in elementary school, and it's Grandparents' Day at her school, and she's very, very anxious because she wants to bring her two grandmas who she loves, and she spends so much time with them, and she adores them, but she's really scared because all the kids in her class are coming with a grandma and a grandpa, and they always talk about having a grandma and a grandpa, and she's worried if the kids are going to make fun of her, and if they're going to tease her, and if they're going to think her family's really weird. And so she's extremely anxious about it. And the book kind of follows Mia's thought processes as she thinks about it, as she talks about it with her mom. And it ends up in an adventure that's a lot of fun, where she goes to a water park. She decides to stop thinking about this problem because she's just so torn up about it and feels so bad. So the next day, her grandmas are taking her to a water park. And for the first time, she's old enough to go down the great big slide. But when she gets to the top, she's really scared and she doesn't know what to do and she's just terrified. And all of a sudden she feels, I'm going to cry just talking about it. All of a sudden she feels 4 arms around her and it's her 2 grandmas who've climbed up all these stairs to the top and they're going to ride down the slide with her. And that's what they do. And they go down the slide together and Mia is so thrilled and feels so loved and so protected by her grandmas that she realizes, even though she's only 6 years old, that she doesn't care what her friends think. She's going to bring her grandmas to Grandparents' Day. And that's what she does. She brings them to Grandparents' Day. She introduces them to all her friends. They have lunch in school. They take their pictures. And at the end of the book, she realizes that families are about love. And there's all different kinds of families and parents and grandparents, and that the fact that our two grandmas are gay doesn't matter at all. I'd love for you to check out the book. If you go to YouTube and you, or just go to Google and Google Mia's, M-I-A-S, 2, T-W-O, and I spelled grandma's, G-R-A-M-M-A-S. I don't know why, but it just seemed more real because that's the way my kids say it, my grandkids. You can see the book. In fact, you can see me reading the whole book to two very adorable little kids in Tucson. And I hope you feel that it's as important as I do, because I've raised, as I said, 3 kids and 10 grandkids, and I know what it means not to see yourself reflected in the books around you and not to see yourself honored and accepted and tolerated. And even if there's not overt discrimination of absolute rejection, there's a lack of inclusion. And I hope that this book will be a way to change that. I'm planning to do workshops in schools, in churches, in synagogues, anywhere that people are willing to invite me. I'm actually a college professor. I've been doing workshops and I've been teaching for more than 50 years, and so I have a lot of experience doing that. And my passion is diversity and helping people move towards greater acceptance. So thanks so much.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
I salute community radio and KXCI's long history of involvement in our community. KXCI cares about the people in our community and the real issues we face. My name is Scott Blades, and I serve as the executive director of TIHAN, the Tucson Interfaith HIV/AIDS Network. TIHAN is a coalition of people and communities of faith joining together to provide an informed, compassionate response to the HIV crisis right here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Today, as KXCI commemorates Stonewall Day, I reflect on the great social change that was catalyzed by the Stonewall Revolution. I think of the outcasts, the misfits, the self-proclaimed drag queens who 45 years ago in 1969 stood up and said, "We're not going to take this abuse anymore, this discrimination." And they began a movement of resistance that continues today, a movement to bring understanding, justice, and equality for all of us who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and trans. From the silence in the shadows, brave women and men have stepped up and fought for our rights, and today we're reaping the benefits of their courage and conviction. Even this week, more discriminatory laws have been repealed, and equality under the law becomes more than just words, but reality, bit by bit, state by state. Marriage equality is a key right of great importance to many of us, but we also need to work for passage of a federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act, making it illegal for people to be discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or gender expression. Right here in Arizona, we need to work hard to elect people who can lead our great state to be a place where diversity is valued and celebrated, and kids can grow up into healthy adults, regardless of their God-given sexual orientation or gender identity. Progress is happening, but we need your help to bend that arc of justice now. But I also want to talk about another issue related to the fight for LGBTQ equality. Since the first reports in 1981 of a strange new disease impacting gay men in New York City, HIV has taken a tremendous toll on our LGBTQ community and on our lives. It has challenged us to be more bold and more fully who we are so that we can stand together and fight, stand together and educate, stand together in love. There are more than 33 million people around the world who are living with HIV, including 1.1 million people in the United States and approximately 3,000 people right here in Tucson. AIDS is not a gay disease, but we've been hit so hard. Since the AIDS crisis first appeared 33 years ago, our community has responded again and again to challenges that seemed, at first and to others, to be insurmountable. Out of tragedy, our community has built a standard of service delivery for people living with HIV unsurpassed anywhere in the world. That spirit of determination, innovation, and love continues to carry us through as we face new challenges created by the ever-evolving face of HIV. From the issues of people living with HIV who are living longer and better, to serving new communities being disproportionately impacted by HIV, to the difficulty of raising funds in a challenging economic time. Although much progress has been made in the war on AIDS, the battle is not over. We need your time, your skills, and your money, and we ask you to invest them in this work we are doing. TEHAN is a not-for-profit, volunteer-based organization made up of about 200 gay and straight volunteers. Our mission? To provide HIV/AIDS awareness programs throughout Tucson's congregations, to break down the homophobia and stigma attached to HIV, and to provide direct, volunteer-based support services to people living with HIV and AIDS. We are supporting people to live well with HIV. Every life is precious and has value. Every person can contribute and make a difference. Every one of us deserves love and the right to be included and supported. That is what TEHAN is about. Let it be known, you can live well with HIV. So please get tested for HIV, and if you test positive, TEHAN will be there to support you and help you to live well. And if you test negative, let it be the motivation to keep you safe. That's what TEHAN's about. Too often in the past, bigoted and uninformed people claiming to be of God have been the loudest voices against us. But today there's a groundswell of support. People of faith from every tradition standing up and speaking out, advocating for justice. We must remember, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. I invite you in that proud tradition of resisting what is unfair and unjust and standing up boldly and proudly for love and justice to take a step forward. Whether you advocate for LGBTQ equality and justice or HIV awareness and support, we will make more progress with your involvement. I urge you to make time for the things that are important to you. Give of your time and talents. We need progressive and compassionate people to step forward and make a difference. Contact TEHAN and find out how you can get involved. Check us out at www.tehan.org. That's TIHAN.org. Or call us at 299-6647. Together, we can create a world where HIV status isn't a barrier to living well, and everyone is valued, included, supported, and celebrated. It's going to take all of us working together to do what needs to be done. Join us and help build a more informed, compassionate, and healthy community. Let this anniversary of Stonewall be the opportunity for us to stand up, speak out, and be the change we want to see. It is happening. Be part of it. Thank you, and God bless.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Michael Woodward, and I'm on the Southern Arizona Gender Alliance Advisory Council. I'm also a graduate student in public health at the University of Arizona and also working on a certificate in collaborative governance, so I got a lot going on. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is the fact that, there's been a lot of talk about Obamacare and the ACA and whether or not it's a good thing out there, but it really is making a difference for transgender people, and I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening. So the problem has been that, trans people are less likely to seek assistance because of they've been discriminated against before. There's even been instances of physical assault by a healthcare provider when they're in the office. 1 in 5 transgender people have reported being just flat-out denied healthcare for things like, knee surgery or, whatever, because the provider is blaming it on, or the insurance company may be blaming it on their transition, which is, most cases, completely false. But because of the bias out there against transgender people, this kind of discrimination happens all the time. So what the Affordable Care Act has done to help us is a couple of things. First of all, we talk about the Affordable Care Act part of it, but the full title is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. The patient protection part has been really crucial. For example, the Medicaid expansion in Arizona, now you qualify for access if you make $16,000 a year or less, approximately. because transgender people are frequently unemployed due to discrimination and thus four times more likely to live on $10,000 a year or less, a lot more trans people are now going to be able to get access in Arizona, which is a good thing. Another important thing about the protection part is that pre-existing conditions have been eliminated. So because gender dysphoria, which is usually considered a pre-existing condition, never used to be covered, you can't be denied because of a pre-existing condition. And thus, you can't be denied simply because you're transgender. Another important part is that the 10 essential services that are required in all plans now ensures that basics like lab work and screenings are covered, which when you're on hormones is really important to get that done on a regular basis. The other important part of the patient protection piece of the ACA is Section 1557, the non-discrimination section, which provides protections based on race, color, national origin, age, disability, and sex. Now, you notice I didn't say gender identity or sexual orientation. However, the Department of Health and Human Services has stated that they will include gender identity under the definition of sex. Not sexual orientation, but definitely gender identity. So that's one way in that the trans community has gotten more advanced rights than the gay community. And all of this is having a snowball effect. Medicare just removed treatment exclusions for some of the most important procedures, including a lot of the surgeries, which we anticipate will lead the marketplace and employer and private insurance providers to do the same thing, because what Medicare does, everyone else does eventually. Federal employee plans also have removed a lot of these exclusions. About 63% of Fortune 500 companies now provide comprehensive care. Medicaid is a tougher nut to crack, though, and without a federal mandate, each state can do what it decides for itself, what to cover. Some states, including Washington, have removed exclusions. Arizona's access has not yet done so voluntarily, but I'm hoping we can work through that soon. But then what? There's provider workforce issues. It will take a while to get enough providers trained in the trans healthcare needs, especially surgical procedures. So even though people will have access to care, there won't be enough doctors for a while. But we all need to be patient. We'll work through this. A few years down the road, it's going to be a much different landscape for transgender people, including here in Tucson. Just in September, Kodak is opening what people don't know about. There's going to be a new healthcare clinic called Living Out Loud, which is specifically for LGBT people. It's going to be friendly care, knowledgeable providers. Trans men can go get pap smears. Trans women can go get breast exams. Gay folks and lesbian folks and bi folks and anybody else is welcome to come and know that they won't be mistreated or have poor care. Keep an eye out for that. It's coming in September, I believe. Also, if you have questions about the Affordable Care Act or how to enroll, you can visit outtoenroll.org. That's OUT2enroll.org for specific information about how the Affordable Care Act benefits both the trans community and the lesbian, gay, bisexual community.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
Hi, my name is Kristen Berner, and I sit on the board of the LGBT&S Alliance Fund. That's the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Straight Alliance Fund. Our mission is to foster charitable giving in support of innovative programs and initiatives that benefit the LGBT&S community in Southern Arizona. We raise money through donor solicitation in order to give it away in the form of grants. Our donors know that giving to the Alliance Fund is a win-win situation. They know 100% of their donations go to funding the best programs and organizations. They know that we have vetted these organizations. These are collaborative, innovative, and interesting programs that are making the most impact in our community. We are an all-volunteer board, and I'm honored to say we are entering our 15th year of providing grants for many deserving organizations in Southern Arizona. You have likely heard from several Alliance Fund grantees today and can recognize the many needs
that are still in our community. This is why the Alliance Fund continues to foster relationships. We are aligned with the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, which gives us a strong connection to stability and to our community. Not only are we always looking to foster and to forge new financial partnerships, we are also interested in broadening our grant reach. Speaking of grants, our 2014 grant round starts in early August. RFPs must be returned to us by September 24th. For a complete outline of important grant details and required dates, or to learn more about who we are and what we do, or to make a donation, please visit our website at www.alliancefund.org.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org. KXCI commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings with voices from our community.
My name is Dominique Calza, and I am the Youth Programs Manager in the Prevention Department at SAFE, the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. ALLY, Arizona's Life Links for Youth, is a suicide prevention program focused on reducing youth suicides in Southern Arizona, particularly among LGBTQ youth and allied youth ages 14 to 24. ALLY is a youth-driven program and supports participants to become peer leaders who create change in their communities. The program utilizes empowerment, life skills development training, positivity messaging, and projects to increase awareness, knowledge, and youth's ability to support themselves and their peers. We know that youth face real-life challenges, and we want them to know that they are not alone. We can offer support by providing trainings, activities, groups, and links to resources and referrals. To learn more about the program and services, call 520-561-2367 or visit us on Facebook.
Learn more about all of our guests and their organizations at kxci.org.